This is the Shadow Mountain Author Podcast. I'm Chris Schobinger, Publishing Director for Shadow Mountain. Today's author, Wendy Swohr, is the debut novelist of A Monster Like Me, a middle grade novel inspired by a true story. If you enjoy contemporary fiction in the same vein as R.J. Palacio's Wonder or Chad Morris and Shelley Brown's Mustaches for Maddie, you're sure to enjoy A Monster Like Me, which received a starred review from Booklist. We're grateful to have the author with us to share more insights into her story, in particular, the themes of finding self-acceptance, dealing with bullying, and teaching compassion to kids. Wendy Swohr, welcome to the Shadow Mountain Author Podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So just to begin, because I know you live an interesting life, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So we live in Southeast Idaho. We have a farm and we run a corn maze and pumpkin patch, and we've got peacocks and hundreds of chickens and all sorts of things. I spend about 200 hours altogether getting the corn maze together between cutting it and folding down the leaves. And then we got to pound the stakes and string the string. It's usually about 3 miles of path, and it takes most people about an hour to go through. And there's questions about agriculture, so you have to learn all the way through it, or you find dead ends if you're wrong.
So, of course, I'm a fan of all the books and authors we feature on this podcast, but A Monster Like Me is extra special because I know you were able to draw from personal experiences when writing it. So tell us about what you and the main protagonist, Sophie, have in common and how that plays out in the story.
So when I was a child, I had a hemangioma on my forehead, and it stuck out far enough that we couldn't cover it with my bangs no matter what my mom did. It was always poking out. And for anybody not familiar with what a hemangioma is, it's when the blood vessels kind of go crazy and they start reproducing so that they are on top of each other in layers, like a big mass that's full of veins, basically, a whole bunch of veins in there. And it on the outside, it looks like this kind of burgundy, bluish mass that pokes out. And it can be anywhere on your face. Mine, I was fortunate that it was in the center of my forehead. I can remember when I was little and I would get frustrated or angry that, or even when I was exercising or running, there was so much blood in the area, I could feel my heartbeat pulsing inside my hemangioma on my forehead. So this blood tumor would definitely keep a lot of heat, and it was soft to the touch, like smooth on the outside, but still a firm thing on the inside. And as you age, for most kids, they typically develop them when they are about 2 months old, and then it grows in size, and then somewhere around 10 years or so, they usually deflate somewhat, and that's often when surgery can be done to remove them if the family wants to remove them. I had an experience with my mom where I was at the grocery store, and a lady pointed at me, and she had teenagers with her, and she goes, "Hey, look, kids, that kid doesn't need a Halloween costume. She's already got one." And then she and her kids laughed and walked off, and my mom was so shocked, and so were everyone else around her, that they didn't even know what to say. Everyone was silent, and it was pretty traumatic for my mom.
And that sort of plays a part with what Sophie experiences in the book, right?
Right. That was the genesis of the story, is I wondered, what if I had believed the people who thought that I was a monster? And how would that have changed how I thought about myself and how I related to the world? And so Sophie does believe that she is a monster, and she has a hemangioma on her face. I moved hers to the side of her face, so I wanted to make sure that it would be harder for her to hide. There's no way to put your bangs over something that surrounds your eye and goes down your cheek a little further. So it's on most of one half of your face. And so she has a much harder thing to deal with.
So before we talk about monsters and some of the things that are in the book, I want to talk about Portland, Oregon, because the story takes place in Portland.
Yes.
And I have to say that the Oregon Tourism Commission needs to write you a check because you paint this beautiful picture of Oregon. And talk about why you chose Portland and some of those wonderful backdrops you chose for your story.
So around the time that I was deciding whether or not to get my own hemangioma off, then that's when I lived in Portland at the time. And so my favorite thing was to go to the tide pools. We used to go to Haystack Rock all the time. We loved the zoo. We climbed Multnomah Falls all the time. So I've been up there many times, and I loved the city, and I associated beauty with green, and I had my own little fern garden. It was, to me, it was quite the paradise.
So Let's get back to the story, because the themes in the story are very pertinent to children, particularly the theme of dealing with bullying. It's something that is very real in schools, and children have many self-protective measures to guard themselves from bullying. But I wanted you to talk about that, but in particular, how Sophie deals with it in her own unique way, because she has something special that she uses, which is so integral to the story and so brilliant the way you use it. I would love you to talk more about that.
So Sophie has the Big Book of Monsters, and this Big Book of Monsters she uses like a shield against the world. So whenever there is bullying or things that she doesn't want to face, then she hides behind the book, or she'll hide behind her hair down over her face, her goggles or things. And the way that she uses the book is, since she believes that she is a monster herself, then therefore it makes sense that other people are monsters also, and she can categorize them as such. So if there's someone who's cruel to her, well, obviously that one's a goblin. Or if she has somebody else who is at the doctor's office and they always are trying to get her blood for tests or whatever, well, they obviously work for a vampire. So she's able to hide from the things that are scary, both physically behind the book and emotionally, because it hides her feelings. And she knows that she's something other and monsters are something else. So she's trying to make sense of her world through the book.
So one of the things I loved about A Monster Like Me was at the beginning of each chapter, there's an excerpt from Sophie's Big Book of Monsters. So with every chapter, readers will learn about a mythical or legendary monster. And some are common, like, you know, goblins or gremlins, and others are not so common. I remember one that was like Scorpion Man. I think it was called Akrabuamalu or something.
Yeah, you
I
got
probably
it.
Butchered that.
No, it's good.
But what were your favorite fantastical creatures to write about, and did they play a part in your own childhood?
The Inkanyaba is one of my favorites, and it's the African sky eel, and it will make thunderstorms and things, and it lives in the waterfall over in Africa. And when I was little and people were making fun of me, then sometimes I would go back to all the stories. I was a voracious reader. And so I would read all the stories and not have to face some of the things going on around me. So the worse the day, the more I read. And so I would kind of immerse myself in stories that had monsters and other things, just to create an alternate place to be.
Which is probably something that is an escape for a lot of kids who are dealing with fear or bullying in schools, I imagine, and something that you experienced.
Yeah. When I was little, I remember seeing Godzilla for the first time, and it was one of the old ones that's probably really super fake now, but at the end, the finale was that Godzilla fell down a volcano, and he was like, roar, all the way down, and I bawled for him. I was so sad that Godzilla had to die. So I definitely empathized with the monsters at that time. So with monsters, monsters hide in the stories. Monsters are always hiding somewhere, and Sophie wants to hide. Monsters are scary, and she believes that she herself is scary. Monsters are often alone, solitary things, and she feels alone. And monsters sometimes are out of control because it's just their nature. They can't help it. And I think a lot of times kids feel out of control, and it's just how they are, because they haven't yet developed ways to control sometimes. So I think sometimes kids might be able to empathize better with monsters, just because it's something other that kind of mirrors their own self sometimes.
I want to talk about another character in the book. Sophie has a single mom who begins dating a guy named Kelsey, and he's an interesting character. Talk about him and Sophie's evaluation of him.
Mm-hmm. So Kelsey is a vet. He had been over in the Gulf Wars, and he had caught some shrapnel. And so his side of his face is scarred, and he's got some significant damage down there. And he's an overall nice guy, but he definitely felt the effects of looking different, so he can empathize with Sophie. But when Sophie sees him, the first time she sees him, he's on a Harley and he's got a skull mask on, and it's in a whirlwind. And so she immediately goes to her books and she finds Koshi the Deathless, who is a demon who is known for stealing maidens away. And so she is afraid that Koshi is going to take her mom.
And again, another wonderful way that you use the Big Book of Monsters and how Sophie's imagination sort of gets the best of her, right? In the situation. But at one point, Kelsey and Sophie have a conversation, and Kelsey says, and I quote, "All of us carry monster marks, Sophie. It's just that some of us carry them on the outside." Can you expound on that?
I think everybody is damaged to some level. Everybody has had things happen to them or lived through experiences that leaves them scarred in some way. And sometimes the scars are on the outside, and sometimes you can't see them and they're on the inside. And you just have to treat everyone with kindness because you don't know what they carry.
So Sophie's scars, as you say, are on the outside. And in the book, Sophie hates picture day. And I know that in the beginning of the book, she'll do anything to skip school on picture day. And how does Sophie's blood tumor affect her self-esteem beyond how she looks?
Beyond how she looks, it makes her isolated because she's always looking for a way to hide it. And so since she wants to find a way to hide it, she also has to pull herself out of situations and isolate herself from other friends. And so it makes her turn inward and makes her isolation even bigger than it would have been normally. So if there had been bullying just by itself, yes, she would have had some trouble making friends. But because of her perception of how the world is and how she has to hide it even more, then she is in even more isolation than she would have been, which makes her imagination of this monster world even larger because the only person she has to discuss it with is herself.
Wendy, what would you say to a child who wants to hide away from the world and other kids because of the way they look?
I would say that when things go bad for you, don't let it define you. I think all of us have been there. We know it hurts to be teased, but you can't let the challenges and things stop you from doing something that you enjoy. You still need to find that thing that makes it worth your time to get up in the day and to go after it. And to know that you're not alone. There's always somebody out there who understands what you're going through. All you need to do is be brave enough to reach out.
And what was that thing for you when you were growing up and you having this this monster mark, as you say? What was that thing that got you up and got you just motivated to just be a part of the world?
I think my parents played a key role in making it so that I was able to really go out and make friends and not let it stop me in the things that I wanted to do, because they could see when I would start to turn inward and they could see when the bullying was happening, and they would go out and educate the people around me to make sure that they understood that it's not contagious, it's not gross, it's nothing that's going to get on anybody, that hemangioma is just normal. And they were able to give me the confidence to know that it's just a normal thing. Mm-hmm. And it's okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure there are teachers and librarians listening to this podcast. Were there teachers and librarians in your life that helped you see beyond the marks?
I did have an extraordinary teacher in fourth grade, and she would have us do writing exercises in class. So we learned about poetry and haikus and things, and she encouraged us to do some creative writing. And I remember one time I wrote what I thought was this epic saga of this cheetah family. The cheetah grew up and it had kits and then it died, and I remember weeping and it was so amazing, and I always remember that. And I found that 5 years ago, and the thing is a half page long with pictures. It's so small, but I thought it was epic. And when I showed it to my teacher, she acted like it was epic. And because of that, I knew I could write because she said so, even though now I see it and she was very kind.
Throughout the story, Sophie starts to create what she believes is a magical necklace, that if she finds these different items and creates this necklace, she believes it will give her a magical wish to cure her of her monster mark and make her human again. Without giving anything away, what would you say Sophie learns about being human?
I think she learns what it means to be humane, and about what sacrifice means, and that human is much more than just what you look like. That to be human means that you reach out to those around you and you're part of the connection. So being human is all about connecting with other people.
When I asked the editor of this book what the takeaway was, what was the hook the real message. And she said that compassion makes us human. What advice do you have for our listeners about showing compassion?
I think that if you see someone who is struggling or who is isolated, take that moment and reach out. Because there are people like Sophie who are so isolated that they have lost the ability to reach out, and they need someone to take that first step. So if you can take that first step and take someone by the hand, you could be the friend that pulls them out of that isolation and back into the world with everyone.
So I want to step back a little bit and talk about the stories of myths, monsters, and fantastical creatures that are throughout this book, and how they've always have an element of power, usually the hero's journey of being challenged and gaining power by growing and learning. How do you see Sophie's journey from beginning to the end? How does she grow and learn?
So in the beginning, she's lonely. She's very lonely, and she never lets anyone in. And she's never looking outside of herself either. She doesn't let anyone in, but she doesn't ever look out. And that makes it so she couldn't empathize with other people. And along her journey, she has to gain power by letting people see her for who she is, letting people into her imaginary world. And that makes the first crack in her little shield. She's creative, is when she let a friend in. Just like heroes gain power from either befriending, avoiding, or conquering monsters, she gains power by making friends and by letting them be more a part of her world and her being pulled more into their world.
What motivated you to write A Monster Like Me?
The thing that made me want to write it is because I thought, what would it be like if I didn't have the support system that I did have and I did believe the bad things that people were saying about me? And what would that have been like to live in that world where not only did you look different than everyone on the outside, but also that you knew that you didn't have the same value and everyone else did on the inside? And if you were afraid that you could never be like anyone else, I wanted to see someone overcome that, to see someone in that place of loneliness and despair and rise above it.
I want to talk about a character that is a critical part of the story, Sophie's best friend, Autumn. Sophie is a new girl in a new school. She doesn't know anyone, and she probably thinks she's not going to meet any friends based on her circumstances, and yet she does. Tell us about that.
So Autumn came from, because my dad was a crop duster, we moved around a lot, and I was often the new kid at school. I had maybe 5 different elementary schools. So in the schools where there was someone who reached out to me, then I quickly became part of the school, and it was a lot easier than the ones where nobody did. So I created Autumn as a bubbly person who was reaching out to Sophie, and she latches on immediately and just starts talking, because Sophie doesn't talk very much, but Autumn talks a very, very much. And it's okay because she has so very much to say, and Sophie likes to listen. So she becomes the person that Sophie wishes that maybe she could be, because she is the one that's out there and happy and cheerful and everyone likes her. And Sophie feels the total opposite of that. But underneath that, Autumn does have things in her life that we get to see where her life is not perfect. Even though she's happy, she has things that are very hard in her world. And Sophie can see those things.
In Sophie's Big Book of Monsters, is Autumn in that book? Has Sophie identified Autumn as?
Autumn is a fairy. Okay. Autumn is a fairy, yes.
As we've talked about this book, and I know you have shared your story with others, and in so doing, I noticed one time how you pointed out the scar that you still have on your forehead, probably because of the surgery.
Right.
What does that symbolize to you now? And what advice could you share with other kids who may have scars, both physically or not?
For me, when I was little, I was obviously aware of my hemangioma a lot. And once I had it removed, I was super conscious of the scar also, because it's right in the center of my forehead. It's a few inches long. And I was sure everybody was looking at it, and I was self-conscious about it. But then as I grew, I realized that the person who was most conscious of it was me. and that if I would just do my thing and go about my day and forget about my own insecurity, then I was able to connect with people, and most of the time they wouldn't notice either. And so at this point, I don't even use bangs ever because I don't mind it at all. But for a long time, I would always cover it, but now I've grown past it.
When Sophie is confronted with the reality of surgery to remove her facial tumor, it strikes a well of emotions. Talk about that.
So Sophie is afraid of it for a couple of reasons. First off, surgery is scary. It's a total loss of control. Right now, Sophie has the illusion of control with her book and with how she's built her world. But if she lets herself be taken in with doctors, then they're going to do whatever they want to her. They might find out her secret about her being a monster. They might do anything, and she doesn't know how to deal with it. I can remember when I had my hemangioma removed, my mom went in with me, and she was reading me A Wrinkle in Time. And when it came time that it was go time, I can remember just panicking and crying because, and my mom, of course, cried because it's frightening for a 10-year-old kid to lose control and go back.
Sure.
So for Sophie, it's more that she worries they're going to find out her secret, or worse, that she does go through this surgery and remove the mark, but then find out that it didn't help anything and she's not redeemable, that she's a monster all the way through, that it's not just a surface thing, that she really will find out that she's worthless and different and not worthy of love, because she's afraid that it's not just surface, that it's all the way through.
For those of our listeners interested in talking to you about the book or any of the themes we've discussed today, how can they do that? How do they get in touch with you?
So my website is wendyswore.com, S-W-O-R-E, and you can reach me through there or on Twitter at Wendy Swore or on Instagram at Wendy Swore. So I'm all over at Wendy Swore.
Great. Ford Review said, "A Monster Like Me is an intelligent and provocative story about a memorable girl who discovers her own unique talents, reminding those around her that everyone, no matter how they look, feels love and pain." We thank Wendy Swore for the time she's taken to visit us at the Shadow Mountain Author Podcast, and we invite you to go out and pick up her debut novel, A Monster Like Me.